Dr. Carlin Borisenko. She is an organizational psychologist. And she is somebody that I read, I think, the entire Medium piece on the air. I've never done that. They tend to be really long. But I thought every word of what she wrote was important. She wrote a piece after attending a Trump rally. I realized Democrats are not ready for 2020. Her website is zenworkplace.com. May I call you Carlin?
Yes, absolutely.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I've had a bit of a week over here, Glenn. I'm not going to lie.
I bet you have. First of all, thank you for coming on. I would imagine this is the last place you ever thought you would be on.
Oh, never in a million years did I think that this would happen.
Right, right. You are a Democrat, you were a Democrat. You're an independent now, and we had an argument back and forth. It's my understanding that you are still going to be voting for a Democrat or possibly voting. You haven't changed to a Trump supporter or voter, right?
Well, I really don't know. I mean, I frankly don't know who my options are in the general election. And I think that there are absolutely some pretty high profile contenders that I will not vote for under any circumstances. So we'll see.
So tell the story for anybody who didn't read. Tell your story.
Yeah, so I had been going on this journey for the past, 6 months or so, where I was really starting to feel very uncomfortable in an echo chamber that I had created for myself. And I started listening to just different conservative voices. And they kind of all culminated when I decided to go to the Trump rally in Manchester, New Hampshire last week. I thought, if there's anything, I can't think of anything bigger I could do to break out of my very liberal echo chamber. And everyone that I talked to about this idea was genuinely concerned for my safety, and that includes people on the left and the right. They were both really concerned that I was going to be physically harmed at this rally, either by the supporters or by Antifa or whoever. But I decided to go anyway, and I discovered that, hey, shocker, they're just average, normal people that are really, really nice and welcoming. And I wrote about it.
And you said at one point you thought those people were despicable and even deplorables.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I definitely went through a phase probably for about a year and a half where I really thought that, anyone who supported President Trump was at best supporting racism and at worst downright racist themselves. Yeah.
Wow. And where did that come from?
I was watching a lot of MSNBC.
Okay. All right. And then why did you become uncomfortable?
Well, I'm a knitter, and in the knitting community, and I know this sounds bizarre, but it is a hyper-political community at the moment where they have these kind of roving gangs of social justice warriors just attacking people and mobbing them indiscriminately. And
hey, stop. You're asking me to process way too much, first of all.
Oh, I know.
Most people didn't even know that there was an online knitting community. And now I'm seeing knitters and roving gangs of social, something just doesn't fit here. It's not what I expect.
Well, listen, I understand the feeling because I didn't expect it either.
Right.
but I started seeing this happen just over and over and over again. And at some point I started speaking up within the knitting community and saying, guys, this is wrong. We shouldn't be doing this. And then they came after me. And at that point, and I didn't get it as badly as a lot of people did. But at some point I just said, I cannot align myself with these people politically. It's just, it's wrong what they're doing.
You talked about how one person was bullied so bad online that they became suicidal.
Yes. Yeah.
What were the arguments about?
So in his case in particular, he started speaking up when the mobbings first started happening. And I swear I'm not making this up. All he did was post a poem on Instagram asking for kindness and asking for people to just see each other as human beings. And he was mobbed by thousands and thousands of people. And he eventually did go into the hospital. And then his husband posted on Instagram that, please stop the hate. He's in the hospital. And it just got worse and kept escalating after that. So it was really too bad. But thankfully, he seemed to have really rebounded and now is getting a lot of support from people like me.
So who are these people that are in these roving mobs?
They're people on the very far left that anytime something sticks out to them that is outside of their ideology, they try to pressure people into kind of bending the knee and issuing these massive apologies and, you know, pointing out all the areas where they are wrong in their lives and transphobic and homophobic and fatphobic and all these things. And it's just they're to be blunt, I think they're kind of just horrible, miserable people that want to make other people miserable as well.
Boy, you're starting to sound like a conservative.
I know.
Because, I mean, this is the thing that really we've been warning about. There's disagreements on things that we can, disagreements on policies we can go on. But when you're trying to shut people up and you do it through fear and intimidation, it's a very foreign kind of concept to America. That's not who we were. That's not what made us great. That's not what made us big. And anyone who's doing it on any side is really engaging in some really dangerous stuff, because it always ends the same way.
I totally agree. And when people started telling me to shut up specifically, that was when I started really taking a look at it. Because for me, you know, expression is a gift that we've all been given. And if you want to change people's minds, you have to do it through conversation, not through intimidation.
So you said the day you went to the Trump rally, MSNBC was there. And so you wanted to go among some familiar territory first. So you went, and what was your experience there that morning?
Well, I was wearing a red hat that looks kind of like a Trump hat that says "Make Speech Free Again." It's my little protest against cancel culture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always a conversation starter, and people struck up a conversation. And I said, "Oh, I'm thinking about going over to the Trump rally." And they were like, "Don't do it. They're going to hurt you. They're going to harass you." And one woman even offered me her pepper spray. And I just said, I think I'm going to be fine. It's going to be okay.
So what were your thoughts? Because I'm sure these people were being genuine.
Yes.
So what were your thoughts on that? Especially somebody of your profession that you look and say, these people genuinely care about my safety. They're really warning me, and it's almost unhinged from reality.
Well, yeah, and I think that, you know, when literally every single person around you is in fear of your safety, it's really hard not to question and say, what are they seeing that I don't see? But it's also an indication that I knew I had to do it at that point, because I knew I had to see for myself what was going on.
So you wrote something interesting in your article about your hat, on how it is viewed by both sides. I can't tell you how do you know who Jonathan Haidt is?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. So Jonathan did kind of the same thing that that you did, and he told me that he actually started listening to me. And he said, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking one direction. And he said, I realize you speak about things and you don't necessarily use the same terminology that all the other conservatives use. And he said, so it started to kind of crack my mind open a bit. And I'm like, well, now, wait a minute. How does this make sense? And it's the same experience that you've went through by listening to other conservative friends and other voices. And I have experienced it myself, where you can go into a room and just not by changing what you say, just by changing how you frame it, the entire thing changes, and you can make all kinds of progress with people. And it's funny, because we're really, I think the average person is generally fighting for the same thing. And you just don't know it. And you think the other side is totally against it. Explain your hat.
Well, I mean, my hat for me is just I got so tired of people trying to cancel one another and starting fights with one another. And so it was just my small little nod that I'm, you know, the First Amendment for me is one of my core values. I so strongly believe in freedom of speech. It's so incredibly important. And so that's the message I was really trying to articulate with it. But I completely agree with everything you just said, too. And it reminds me of the phrase, what resists persists. when we fight aggressively against something, we just make the problem bigger. And that to me is a reflection of what's going on right now, in that, you know, especially, and I you know, my liberal friends might disagree with me, but I see it coming more from the left than the right, where they're fighting so aggressively and they don't understand that they're just making the problem bigger.
Yeah. All right. We're going to continue our conversation in 1 minute. Stand by. So, Carlin, what is it that you're looking for in a candidate? I'm assuming that you're still liberal. I mean, well, let me ask you. I think we used to think that liberals were not necessarily big government. This is in the early 20th century. They were all about the rights of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Are you that kind of liberal? Are you a progressive liberal? What kind of liberal are you?
Yeah, I'm the first kind. I very much believe in our fundamental liberties. I tend to be actually pretty centrist with some libertarian leanings politically. And I guess I'm just looking for a candidate that's going to make common sense solutions and that's going to compromise. And that's really the biggest thing for me right now.
So do you see anybody that the left is offering up? Tell me your ideas of the candidates, why you would or wouldn't vote for.
Oh, gosh. So I think the ones that I would consider voting for, you know, I came to Tulsi Gabbard late, and I obviously don't think she has a shot at the nomination. Mm-hmm. I think that what the left has done to her has just been atrocious in terms of the character assassination.
Be careful. You're starting to sound like the Glenn Beck program. I just want you to know. You're way over your head here.
No one is more surprised at this than me, Glenn. I'll
bet.
Tell you what. So I voted for Pete Buttigieg in the New Hampshire primary. Now, I voted for him mostly because I came to know him very early on in the campaign. Mm-hmm. I think he's pandering way too much for me lately. Mm-hmm. I voted for Bernie in 2016 in the primary.
Wow.
I do not believe I would vote for Bernie again now, because I think he's gone way too left, and I think his supporters just terrify me. And I think the thing with Bernie, and Bernie's who I ultimately think will probably be the nominee, is then it's really a question of do I want to go towards socialism or do I want to go towards capitalism? And I'm a pretty big fan of capitalism.
Right.
So, you know.
Thoughts? What are your thoughts on Trump now, and what did you walk away feeling?
I think that Trump, there are things about Trump I don't like. I definitely do not agree with some of his policies, but mm-hmm. I also love what he's doing with the economy. The mm-hmm. economy is in a really good spot. I'm an organizational psychologist. I love seeing unemployment low. That means people have jobs, people have options.
Right.
And I like some of the actions that he's taken in terms of in being more aggressive towards, you know, Soleimani and all these things. So
wow.
I'm not opposed to Trump necessarily. I also just think he's just a really funny guy. And I think that you have to put Trump in the context of being just this blustery New Yorker and not take him so seriously with every single thing that he says.
So we were just talking about that today. The difference between Michael Bloomberg and Donald Trump is Donald Trump is said to be mean all the time. Sometimes he can be, but most of the times he's funny. He's got a sense of humor making fun of Michael Bloomberg and his shortness, but Michael Bloomberg does not have a sense of humor. You know, when he says things, I think he means them. Where Donald Trump, you kind of have to, it's weird because some of the things he says you have to take for, you know, for reality, and others you have to just blow off. And that he's just stirring the pot. That's all he's
right.
doing.
He's trolling. And
yes.
Like, I love a good troll. Like,
yeah.
You have to like let yourself laugh at these things. But listen, if Bloomberg gets the nomination, and especially if he brings Hillary with him, I swear I will vote for Trump purely out of spite.
Wow. So the question I really wanted to ask you, are there other people like you that are starting to wake up to the Democratic position of just playing footsie with really dangerous people?
I think there are people who are starting to wake up. It's definitely hard. I've gotten probably like thousands of messages over my story of people saying, I wish my liberal friends and family would read this, and I tried to give it to them and they just won't. I think the people, you know, in small numbers are starting to wake up, but I really do think that November is going to be a giant wake-up call, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Wow. Thank you very much. I so respect you, even though I'm sure we differ on a ton of things. I really respect the courage of anyone who thinks out of the box and dare go against their own side for what they believe in. And I wish you all the luck that I could possibly wish you. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, Glenn.
You bet. Dr. Carlin Borisenko. This is the Glenn Beck Program. Welcome. Glad you're here. We have a new segment on the program.
It's called What the Hell is Happening in This News Story?
Now, you wouldn't think that that would be an actual segment.
Right.
Because you can figure out news stories. But I think that's changing.
Right.
Okay.
So I would like to read this news story to you.
Okay. Read it to me.
And I would like you to identify what has occurred in the story.
Okay, can I take notes?
You can take notes.
Okay, all right, all right.
Now, there's two ways to look at this.
Okay.
One. Do they actually tell you what happened in this news story?
Uh-huh.
That would be I would like you to answer that question.
Okay.
Number two, then you can start to just guess at what you think happened.
All right.
But I would like you to keep it fact-based to see if I'm just insane and don't understand it.
Okay, okay.
And I'm going to read.
Do you know the answer to
this? I do not know the answer.
Okay, well, that's not a fun game.
I think the speculation is the part of this.
Okay, all right.
Now, I'll even give you the headline.
You don't have to.
I'll give you the headline last.
I'm much smarter than you are.
Okay, here we go.
I don't need the headline.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Rosario Dawson has come out in a candid interview, in which she discussed her relationship with Cory Booker.
Got it?
Yeah. Okay. In 2018, Dawson shared a post on Instagram in celebration of Pride Month, which many at the time took to mean she was coming out herself.
Mm-hmm.
During a conversation with Bustle, however...
Of course, obviously,
Bustle.
Who doesn't read
exactly
or listen to Bustle?
Thank you. We have all of their magazine,
their
website,
CD
releases.
Their wow.
However, she clarified it wasn't her intention to do so in the post, though she is now officially coming out.
Uh-huh.
People, this is a quote from Rosario. People kept saying that I came out. I didn't do that. She said, I mean, it's not inaccurate, but I never did come out. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess I am now.
Mm-hmm.
Though Dawson has not shared how she identifies, she added, I've never had a relationship in that space, so it's never felt like an authentic calling to me. In 2018, she shared a post writing, Happy Pride Month, sending love to all my fellow LGBTQ+ homies. Keep being strong in the face of adversity, loud and proud. Here's a little throw bike to last year.
What is she Tom Brokaw's? Here's a little...
I didn't want to misrepresent it. It does not say little.
Okay.
It says low.
Okay.
Dawson and Booker... went public with their relationship in late 2018 after months of speculation, and the actress has spoken out about dating him in interviews. In an interview with Women's Health, she opened up about the sweet morning ritual they share, telling the magazine, every morning that we don't wake up together, he sends me a song.
Oh, good God. Oh, good God.
I just... so glad he's out of this race.
I mean,
which means every morning.
I mean, I have to say, you know me, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't had a man card since I don't even know when, 1971, maybe.
Sure.
But even he makes me sick to my stomach.
It's really revolting.
It is.
And then she ends it with, this means every morning he holds our relationship in his mind and heart for a mm-hmm. few minutes mm-hmm. before he goes off to his big day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of the story.
Okay.
What occurred in this story?
So this is not hard.
It's not? Okay, good.
No,
I'm glad I'm missing something.
People thought she came out, and then they were confused. Came out as gay.
Okay.
Okay. But she was dating Cory Booker, and so they were like, whoa, what's happening? She's come out, but she's with Cory Booker, and
And she's, you know, saying sweet things about Cory Booker. And now she was like, no, I didn't come out then. I've never had that relationship. She may have had those feelings, but she didn't have that relationship.
Meaning a relationship
with a woman.
With a woman.
Yeah. And so now, or, you know, transsexual or whatever. And
one
so
of the letters.
One of the letters. And so then she started dating Cory Booker. And he is so bad as a man, he turns women gay. That's option number one.
That's option one.
Okay. Option number two.
I'm not
is,
sure this is how the process works, but okay.
Number option number two is Cory Booker is now a woman, and she's announcing that she's in a lesbian relationship now.
I mean, that would fit the story.
Right. I mean,
I would say they didn't rule it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
They didn't tell us.
They didn't rule anything in.
In?
They didn't rule anything out. I saw this yesterday. I just read the first paragraph yesterday, and I had the same feeling. I was like, wait, are you saying that Cory Booker is a beard? Are you
right?
I don't know what they're saying in that story.
Right.
But they are speaking code.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I keep coming back to the same point in my head. If you are saying she does not sharing how she identifies, that is in the story, though Dawson has not shared how she identifies, are you coming out? Don't you have to share how you identify if you're coming out?
No, she's saying I'm one of those letters. I'm one of those letters.
So she's coming out
as... It's none of your business which letter. Like, I'm one of those letters. I'm a G for Glenn, but I'm also L. I was born a lesbian. I will only sleep with women. I've only ever been attracted to women.
Again, I don't know exactly how that works. And I don't know if they know exactly how journalism works.
I don't have a man card. But you're right. They don't know how journalism works.
Because I think what's happening here is that... Now, can I speculate? This is complete speculation.
Yeah, sure,
I don't know. Yeah. Even though I've read the whole story multiple times, I don't know if this is true.
All right.
But what I think happened here is she has come out as a B. So she is saying she is a bisexual. She's dating Cory Booker, but she's never actually dated a woman, but she's attracted to women, but is not currently attracted to the women because she's dating Cory Booker. So I think she's bisexual, but I can't be clear.
I think it's more likely that Cory Booker is now a woman.
I think that's the second option. I didn't think of that. But I
put that as the first option, or that he's just so awful as a boyfriend that he literally turns women gay. It's possible.
But I think what's happening, though, is I think she came out as bisexual or Cory Booker's a woman. It's possible. Either one of those are very possible.
Equal, don't you say? Equal chances. Sure. Yeah, sure.
But they're so woke because she hasn't actually said it, they can't say it.
Yes.
So they're trying to tell you what it is without
telling you
it because they can't say it because she hasn't come out and identified herself as,
and
as
they
a
don't
certain
want
letter.
To, they don't want to, what they don't want to do is they don't want to out.
They don't want to out her, even though the story's about her outing herself.
Right.
The story is legitimately titled, Rosario Dawson has officially come out in latest interview. As what? When you walk out of the door, people see you. The whole point of coming out of the closet is because then you're now visible. You're no longer hiding in a closet, and you're visible. But if you don't tell people what you are, you're not visible. You're still in the closet. If you haven't explained what letter you are, aren't you still in the closet?
She's one of those letters. One of those letters.
But that's just picking. That's it. She's in one of those closets. You still haven't
you
told
never,
us.
You're telling me that Monty Hall and Let's Make a Deal was somehow not an American tradition for many years. You don't know what's behind curtain number one, curtain number
what
two.
What letter is behind curtain number two?
You don't know.
It's a plus.
Right. You knew there was something there.
Right.
Right? You knew you were going to get a prize. We know she's going to get a prize. We just don't know which one.
So do we know anything else about her?
Nope.
Do we want to know anything else about her?
Nope.
Can I give you another situation you don't want to know anything else about?
Yes.
It's a letter that came into Slate. And, of course, we have all of their magazines, CDs, or
band
pamphlets.
Stuff, whatever
whatever
they
it
write.
Is, we have
that. That and Bustle.
Yes, and Bustle.
They're,
now,
they're big.
I want to take a quick moment to pause here.
Yeah.
And let you know, as a parent, if you happen to be with your children at this particular moment, it's a wonderful time to find a moment to switch to another station.
To talk about things.
Yeah, maybe.
To talk about
turn
things.
Turn the volume down for
talk
just
about
a second.
Things. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And I tell you what, I'm going to give you a chance because, you know, you may be listening on your phone and it's a long walk to your back pocket. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to give you a chance. We're going to stop, take a break, and then come back because this story, this story is... disturbing on so many levels. Mm. And we go there next. Again, one of those things where everybody's saying something because they can't say anything else. Right? Mm. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. They can't judge.
How dare you judge? So I really want to go to this Slate article and just remind you this is all being mainstreamed. And where are we now? And who are Democrats? Who are liberals? Listen to this.
If you're just joining us and you're with your kids, it's a good time to not be with your kids. So here we go. Dear How to Do It from Slate. My wife and I have been in open marriage for about 5 years. On the whole, our relationship has been uncommonly open and supportive. We strive to encourage one another to explore and even playfully push the limits romantically and sexually. Now this is where it gets dark. Because that first part's great.
I'm happy with that. That's fine.
For as long as I've known her, my wife has been interested in incest role play. While it isn't my cup of tea exactly.
I love that. Not my cup of tea. If my wife came to me and said, I want you to pretend you're my brother, I don't think I'd respond with, not exactly my cup of tea.
But hey. He says, I've been willing to help support her in her exploration of this kind of fantasy and role play.
Sure.
This is where it gets very, very dark and very, very twisted, much worse than it's been so far. Often.
We like to eat our lovers.
we're almost there. Often, she will have me dress up as her father, wear his cologne.
Oh, my gosh.
While she will wear her high school clothes.
You
got to just run at this point. You should get in your car, drive any direction. That's
do not,
not
have
you are.
Children with this woman.
Recently, though, things have started to move in an uncomfortable direction for
that
me.
That wasn't uncomfortable. No.
He's fine with that.
No, I like to be. Let me play your dad.
My wife is very close with her older brother, who is also bi, and with whom we often speak very openly about sex and sexuality. A few nights ago, and after a few drinks, my wife got to talking fairly explicitly about some of the family role-playing that she and I are into. And her brother, who I thought would be kind of horrified, was not only entirely supportive, but vaguely expressed interest in exploring this with us. When I got home, I expected my wife to make it clear that her brother ever joining us in the bedroom was entirely off the table. But instead, she seemed to think it was a really good idea.
Wow.
In principle, I don't have a problem with the idea.
Oh, in principle.
So very principled guy. And in principle, he doesn't have a problem.
The principle is having sex with your wife's brother?
Your wife's brother and
principle?
Your wife at the same time. Together.
So that's the principle.
Yes.
Okay.
So if you're
in principle, what's the problem?
Right. Bottom line... I am just worried about how... You'd think it would be something really, like, profound here, right?
Yeah.
I'm just worried about how this could affect my relationship with my brother-in-law. Is there a way for me to make this happen without it getting weird? Well, no.
No.
I mean, straight out,
no.
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 Now, you'd be happy to hear that the Slate columnist did not say, go for it, it's a great idea. Because that's where I thought this was going to go.
What, Christmas. Christmas. Family picnics. It's going to get weird.
This is legitimately the advice. Doing incest with your wife introduces not just strings, but a potential tangle of them. It's courting drama.
It's courting?
I swear, this is drama. This
it's
is the problem.
Incest.
It could make holidays and other family get-togethers especially uncomfortable for you. That's the worry. And then you got to get this advice because this is important. If anyone needs to hear this.
If you're thinking about this,
you
got to hear this advice.
This is important.
Important. Oh, just Here thinking about that.
I don't think you should do anything, that makes you uncomfortable.
Oh.
Particularly if it involves having sex with your wife and her brother. Just always remember that advice.
Oh, that is
if you take anything
beautiful.
From today's show.
Beautiful.
Don't do things that make you uncomfortable, particularly if it involves having sex with your wife and her brother. So that's the good advice
really,
from Slate.
That is really good. I'm starting the show there tomorrow.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.